Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener. Well, good morning, and it is a great morning. It's a beautiful morning, and it's time now to check in with Larry here with our Green Country Gardener program. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-749-5936. That's 1-800-749-5936. Boy, I tell you, I was out raking the leaves, Larry, but you know what? I fell from the tree. Wasn't good. Wasn't good.
Well, now you really know what gravity is.
Oh, yes, I do.
Sharpen the shovels. We need to sharpen our umbrellas.
Whoa! Man, what a downpour this week, huh?
Don't you love it? Oklahoma weather, huh?
We had
hail at the nursery.
You did?
You bet. Mm. We were over there in the office watching it rain, and a big old lightning bolt hit right outside the door. Kaboom!
Hello!
Made my watch stop.
I've never seen that before. That's wild.
We got a clock hanging on the wall. It's going backwards now.
Oh, man.
But anyway, this is anomalous weather patterns is the norm around here, it seems, lately. But, golly, we've got more precipitation on the way and perhaps even some freezy skid stuff, Monday night or something?
Yeah, it's not looking too good at this point.
So, anyway.
For one day, anyway.
Good day to go through the seed catalog. But anyway, on my agenda in my yard today, I got to finish cleaning up the annuals and turn the soil over. A good farmer turns the soil over in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I always do that on my front beds for my flowers. And the soil is real nice and mealy and easy to work in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this year I'll add a concrete border because
you don't want anything washing away.
No, I have a maple tree, and every year the roots invade that space.
Ooh.
And really take over. So they really like that good soil.
Of course they do.
And maple trees are kind of shallow rooted, so it is it's kind of a battle I fight with them every year. So anyway, that's just part of ground prep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good idea on your annuals to go ahead and dig them up, get them out of there, and throw them away, or I just chop mine up and put them in the compost pile.
There you go.
And then, get it ready for next spring. Or you can plant some pansies.
Yeah, there you are.
We planted a ton of pansies this week.
I bet you did.
Yes. And golly, their smiling faces in the winter are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So they do give you some flowers in the winter. So consider planting some pansies.
However,
make sure your soil is ready prior to planting.
Always prepare that dirt.
Mm-hmm. So dig up and store your caladium and elephant ears. If you haven't yet, it's not too late. It'll probably be too late after the temperature gets down to 2 or 3 odd teen degrees.
Yeah,
where?
17 here.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll probably be a little too late then. So
yeah.
If you don't want to dig them up and save them in the ground, make sure they have a layer of mulch on them to help insulate them from the cold. So elephant ears, cannas are the same way. Somebody asked me, what do I do with my cannas? Well, I have a kind of a theory on that, is dig up some of them and put the other some of them in the leave them in the ground. So if we do have a extraordinarily cold winter, you do have some survivors.
There you go.
So cannas are a very popular plant. They have a banana-like leaf on them and flowers on the top. Mine bloomed for the entire part of the summer, actually.
Nice show.
Uh-huh. And they get about, the ones I have get about 6 feet tall. A caller gave them to me.
Oh, really?
A few years ago, yeah. And the population has increased. I've got a whole lot of cannibals right now. So.
Exponential growth.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, it's kind of time to dig those up, and it's probably not too late for the little cannas or caladiums, if you want to save them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that expensive anymore, so most people don't try to save their little caladium bulbs. I remember when I was a kid, we'd dig them up when we lived in Georgia just to make sure that we'd have, because they were kind of expensive relatively back then, so we saved them. But elephant ears, they're a little expensive, so you might want to consider digging those up.
Make sure it's a good insurance policy.
Put them in a cardboard box, and if your garage does not freeze, it'll be a good place for them in the dark, and they should do okay. So that's kind of what I do with mine. Put them in a cardboard box in the garage. in between the cars and the canning jars and all that other stuff out there.
Easy to find, dear. Yeah. Or we're going to leave the canning jars also by the elephant ear.
Also a really good time to plant trees and shrubs. We spent the whole day yesterday planting trees. Uh-huh. And in light of our scheduling got a little compressed due to the weather.
Yeah.
So we had to get a bunch of them in the ground yesterday. So always add that compost to the soil. I planted a tree downtown, and it was just horrible soil. So it's a little old 5-gallon tray, but I dug a whole big enough for a, you know, redbud or redwood tree.
Yeah.
And so you want to dig a big hole and make it kind of bowl-shaped, if you will, when the soil is bad. Mm-hmm. And they say you don't really have to add soil amendments to the trees when you plant them. But I really think when you look at what the trees are planted in and what we have out there in soil, they need a little bit of a transition from what they're planted in to what our soil is for the most part here in town. Mm-hmm. So you might want to add some amendment just so it can adapt to the soil type and then spread out. The theory is that if you put too good of a soil immediately around the tree, that it really won't grow out and exploit the resources. Mm-hmm. But it is a bit of a culture shock if you plant something that's grown in this really nice loose stuff into clay. And yeah, I saw that look. The tree is just not suited for that yet.
Yeah, it's like, what's this?
Yeah, it's too much of a shock on them. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say if you lived, say, in Bixby or a place like that where the soil's good,
mm-hmm.
then that rule will hold true. Okay. Also, there are parts here in town where the soil is good, but you don't really have to worry about that. So, for the most part.
Help it through the transition, folks.
For the most part, when we plant trees, we throw a bunch of compost in the back of the truck. You never know.
You just never know.
And an axe and a pick and a sledgehammer. Yes.
Because you don't know what's...
Good thing we did yesterday, too. into that.
Well, you know, you always call ahead when you dig a hole anyway, but beyond that, you know, outside of wires and pipes, you really don't know what's underneath there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we ran to a drain pipe. Well, had to move the hole over. So we moved it over there. So we dug it a little bit over. Ran into a electrical conduit.
Okay.
Whoops. Had to move the hole over a little bit more. Then we got the second tree planted, dug the hole. Whoops. Ran to a sprinkler line. Didn't break it.
No. Yeah.
Which I'm surprised because it was Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Things happen on
Friday. And you know what happens Friday afternoon.
Anything that can go wrong can't.
Yeah. And then the power company or the cable company can't get out there to Tuesday. And
yeah.
So you have no television all weekend long. I mean,
oh.
It always happens on Friday afternoon. So anyway, in light of that, though, if you do have plans to plant some trees and shrubs in the yard, you might want to go ahead and know where your utility lines are.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't take the risk of
doing yourself in a little bit.
Losing them for a while.
Making your neighbors very unhappy, too,
exactly,
at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah, we were doing a drain project for somebody, and we had them flagged, and sure enough, there was a 500-pair and a 900-pair cable. He didn't even know it.
Ooh.
Through the backyard. So you got to really know your stuff on that.
Yeah, you do.
That would have knocked out all of Colonial and Kenilworth.
You'd be a popular bunch, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, boy. And they'd have set up camp out there in his backyard for probably a week putting that together.
Oh, not good.
So anyway, yeah, just be cautionary about planting trees.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some rules involved with that, too. As far as where they can be planted.
Mm-hmm.
At least 10 feet away from concrete,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the variety of tree is. You always want to have at least a 10-foot space between your tree and, yes, it what? Okay. Because of the root system.
Oh, I'm very well aware of that.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't do that where I live.
Oh, yeah. And the driveway's all buckled up. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
A silver maple, probably.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, a silver maple 20 feet away from anything.
Yeah.
Because their root system is very shallow and somewhat destructive, mm-hmm. and very massive, actually. It's a very heavy, massive root system.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that away from structures. And that's kind of true with trees across the board. And some of your oaks, you still want to go a bit of a distance away because they can cause some damage to the root system, mm-hmm. and sewer lines especially. If you don't know where it is, you might find out.
Just call, man. Just call.
And not only for the utility lines and structures of the distance, you want to make sure that you don't interrupt the drainage patterns as well.
True.
No matter what the species, anything from a redbud, even to a Chinese pistache. Chinese pistache have a very deep root system.
Mm-hmm.
And they generally don't cause any problems with pavement, but you do want to have them a fair distance away, just so when you get out of your car or when you walk down the sidewalk, you don't hit your head on the tree branches.
That's where the common sense takes
Sort of plan ahead and kind of visualize when you look out your door where the tree can be planted and what are the structures in the neighbor's yard perhaps that you might want to shield. Or what kind of privacy do you want to create? What's the reason for planting this tree?
Mm-hmm.
And other than
that's fall a darn good looking tree.
Yeah. Nice looking tree. I want that in my yard. So that's kind of the deal with planting trees. Sort of the same thing with shrubs also. There are so many different varieties of shrubs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be planted to where the variety can be picked up to where they don't get so large. In other words, some shrubs get 10 feet tall. Some hollies get 25 feet tall. But for some odd reason, some people plant them by the front door.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, they have to cut a hole in the wall and put in a new door because they can't get out of the tree.
That's a heck of a thing.
So if you really don't plan on cutting this tree, you might want to pick out a different species. I mean, you don't want to spend all your time trimming back this giant plant that's over by the house.
Get in over your head.
What I'm making reference to is the Nellie R. Stevens holly.
Mm-hmm.
Big plant.
Huge.
Yeah, 25 feet tall, 10 feet wide. And a lot of people put them 3 feet, if not closer, to the house because they're pretty when you plant them. Yeah, they have berries on them in the wintertime, very reliable berry show on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow in kind of an upright shape, but they get huge. They're kind of the same thing with Foster holly. They get rather large, and people like to plant them 2 feet away from the house. Japanese maples, too, I see that a lot.
Oh.
Give them room to grow, and keep in mind how big they're going to get asked. You know, when you see a plant that you really like, a tree or a shrub or something, ask how big it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And where can I plant this? What kind of soil does it take? And so on and so on. We did a landscape plan for somebody back in 1980. I visited his house yesterday,
mm-hmm.
a customer. And the oak tree was planted 20 feet from the house, and it's way taller. This tree, you can't reach around.
It's huge.
I carried it out of the back of my pickup truck and planted it. And it's just a monstrous thing. And it has survived all the storms. All the Bradford pears in the backyard turned into kindling wood, but this thing was just untouched by the weather. And it's got a trunk. I said, hey, you can have you can make 6 railroad ties out of that trunk. You know?
And still have some spare
left
over. It's
a big one.
Yeah.
And it's far away enough from the house. Yeah. It's far away enough from the pavement that there's a sidewalk about 10 feet from it. It's not buckled up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing in shale. It has a deep root on it. It's a Schumard oak. It has a nice deep root system on it. So it's a beautiful tree, and he just admires that tree because it is beautiful. You look up at it, it's the strength of the branches and all that. It's something that you have to admire, yeah, very strong. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if they're properly placed, they won't become a nuisance.
Mm-hmm. You want them to be, nice and aesthetically pleasing, but
exactly.
you don't want them to be causing you trouble down the road.
So that's kind of the deal with trees and shrubs and some rules to follow and all that. And after the break, we'll talk about lawns.
All righty. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages. And you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums, and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. Five-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Now's the time to get your vehicle ready for winter and those holiday trips. See David or Anita Miller at ABS Performance and have your vehicle checked for antifreeze and have them check your heater too. Don't get caught out in the cold. Be safe and have ABS Performance winterize your vehicle before you leave town. Call today, 918-333-4420 for your appointment. That's ABS Performance on Price Road across from the Washington Park Mall. ABS would like to thank their customers for their loyal patronage.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Oh, yes, indeed. We're back with the Green Country Gardener. We're starting him up. Larry's with us here today. Our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. That's 1-800-749-5936. If you've got a question, or 918-336-1400. We last left talking about trees and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And where are we at now?
Let's talk a little bit about lawns.
All righty, there we go.
One of the trees I planted yesterday was in somebody's lawn.
Okay.
And I dug it up, dug up the grass. They had an area where they wanted the grass moved. I relocated it. And incorporated in the sod that we took up was a significant amount of weeds.
Lots of weeds, huh?
Little, tiny little weeds, just waiting for February the 18th.
Mm-hmm. For February
18th. So, that's when they get the signal to grow.
Yeah, fast.
February, March. So that's, and looking at that yard and other yards around town, this spring is going to be the year of the weed.
Oh, boy.
It's all the rain we had.
Yeah. Well, we had crabgrass by the bushel this past year.
You did, yeah.
Everybody did.
I didn't have any.
Well, of course, you're the pro. You wouldn't. You wouldn't stand for such nonsense.
I've had it in the past.
Yeah.
Well, I had a little bit this year. Uh-huh. It's been a battle for years. It got away from me. I forgot to put down pre-emergent one year.
Oh,
my goodness. I paid the price on that. Yeah, I think it burned out my mower engine. But anyway, so the weeds that are in the grass right now are the spring weeds that we will have, the henbit and the chickweed, et cetera, that will come up. And if we have a warm spell in the winter and when the grass is dormant, it's not completely dormant yet, although it looks like it. Look very closely at your Bermuda grass.
You still got a couple of little greeny things popping up there.
Yeah, it can absorb a glyphosate, which is a Roundup, and it can cause some widespread damage on your Bermuda grass. I would say after this 17-degree bout we're going to have, it'll probably be put to bed really pretty well.
Let nature take care of this one.
Yeah, let's let it go dormant first, and then you can selectively spray the weeds in your yard. Also, the use of pre-emergence at this point in time will not help. You're too late. Your prodiamine should have been put down about a month and a half ago to prevent the spring weeds from growing. So if you've got them, you're stuck with them. However, you can use a post-emergent broadleaf weed control just about at any time. And the younger, the better on the weeds. So it's probably a little early to try to use the post-emergent herbicides because the weeds are kind of small, hard to see. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that's going to happen in February, March or so when that comes up. So just kind of look in between your Bermuda grass and go, oh, my God. That's pretty bad stuff. So anyway, nothing to do with your Bermuda grass right now. You might give it a final mowing just to even out the top, but don't scalp it. Mm-hmm. I did that to mine a couple weeks ago, just that last mowing, just to get it nice and even looking so it looks
kind of good. Beautiful.
Good all winter. Yeah. All winter long. Just beautiful brown. straw colored grass.
I noticed that, you know, that down here the grass is green one day, and then suddenly somewhere in September, October.
Yeah, look out there.
Hey, I got a blonde. You know,
it's
gone.
it's really brown right now. So, yeah. Which is normal.
Yeah.
However, there is some grass out there that is green, and that would be the fescue.
Yes.
And it's too late to put down fescue seed, but it's still a good time to put down fescue sod.
Okay.
Yes. Fescue sod is generally available. In fact, I've got a couple of lawns we're going to do in fescue sod this coming week. If it doesn't rain too much, it's been a problem. We've been delayed. I can't get the ground prepared because it washes down the street.
Soon as you get started,
there goes my dirt down the road. It's happened more than once. So then again, they have to roll it up out of the farm mm-hmm. when the ground is relatively dry because mm-hmm. the trucks can only carry so much weight. And how much water do you want to buy, really?
True.
So there, the timing is kind of... With the weather we've been having, the timing's been difficult. But still, it's still a good time to go ahead and put down that fescue grass. So it's pretty good stuff. Now, the soil should be prepared prior to putting it down. We've done a lot of fescue lawns mm-hmm. over the years, and when we add add the compost and level it, it does really well.
Okay.
But if you don't do it, if you just roll it out, I'll just roll it. You know, roll it out on top of the ground.
You get what you're paying for.
It doesn't work. Yeah. The roots cannot go into our heavy soil. It packs really bad. You need to do something with the soil to prevent that from happening. Packing, so the roots can grow down mm-hmm. and have some anaerobic type of soil or aerobic soil down there. So ground prep is always important. And we run the tillers and the compost and depending on the situation, maybe a little bit of coarse sand with it as well. Mm-hmm. And depending on the situation, some gypsum too. Last one we did, we put a lot of gypsum down. It's done very well.
Good.
So anyway, so get the ground ready for your lawns. Time to get those ready. Time to, of course, plant trees. We were planting a lot of them. Always time to plant trees. The container trees can be planted any time. Fall's a great time and as evidence of our business or activity. But so it's a good time to do that.
Always plant trees all week.
Yeah, right. That's leading up to the tree of the week, which is a deodar cedar. The deodar cedar is native to the Himalayas, where it grows up to 3,500 to 12,000 feet.
That's a tall, tall timber.
And above sea level. It is fairly fast growing for the first decade or two, growing as high as 30 inches in its first 10 years. It is a long-lived and trouble-free tree in most areas. It needs neutral to slightly alkaline soil. So it should feel very comfortable here because that's
pretty much us.
That describes our soil chemistry pretty closely. Uh-huh. It likes full sun. It won't grow in the shade. And once established, the deodar cedar is very drought tolerant. So it does take the dryness pretty well. There are some good specimens here in town. So there's a variety of deodar cedar called I'll mention it now, I can't think of it. But anyway, there are several varieties of the deodar cedar, one of which is a very compact growing variety. And it does very well here in the beds in people's houses for a blue accent plant. It's very nice.
Good.
And so it does quite well in the landscape. So if I can't think of the name of a plant. But anyway, it does quite well here. So we use these in the landscape for kind of a specimen interest plant. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind the backdrop, it has to pop out in the landscape, and there are some colors of houses where it just simply doesn't work. So like a blue house.
yeah, you're going to get some contrast that you're not ready for.
And so you want to be able to see it. Yeah. We did I did a landscape plant for somebody, and in that landscape plant was purple pixie laurel petalum. Mm. Nice little purple plant.
Yeah.
Which shows up in the landscape very well. Mm-hmm. So we got it planted and everything, and we brought out the mulch. It says, no, I want black mulch. Okay, so we got black mulch, put it down, couldn't see them.
Ooh.
Because they're a dark color.
Uh-huh.
And the plants were very dark purple, the sod was a black color, and literally they disappeared.
Oh,
So you have to remember that too. So, well, maybe you should get something yellow. That'll pop out. Or pink, maybe. Mm-hmm. Show up in the dark mulch. Kind of the same thing with your trees and things. Uh-huh. If you want to plant something blue, it has to be in a situation where it can be seen. Mm-hmm. Nandinas are bad about going with bricks. They kind of texture in real closely with brick houses. So I try to avoid them. Mm-hmm. Unless you go with, say, the dwarf Nandina, which turns a bright red color in the fall. But there's some plants that you just have to keep in mind what the materials are made of when you do your landscape plans, too, as to what to pick out. And also quiz the customer about what kind of mulch you want to use. So you don't have the case of the disappearing purple pixie loropetalum.
No, you don't want that happening.
You don't want that, no.
We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to be back here in just a little bit. I think, let's see what we got going on here. I want to make sure that you folks have our phone number here. It is 918-336-1400 and 1-800-749-5936. And we're back with more in just a moment with the Green Country Gardener.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company. Fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Shop Peters True Value in Dewey for these bargains of the month. Holiday Wonderland LED light reels. Your choice of 200 count mini lights, 200 count C3 lights, or 75 count C9 faceted lights in cool white, warm white, or multicolored for $14.99 each after an instant $1 rebate. 50-pound pet expert dog food, $16.99. Your choice, 12-pack double or AAA batteries, $4.99 per pack. And True Value, 10-pound black oil sunflower bird seed or 20-pound wild bird feed, $4.99 each. Price is good through December 1st.
Miller Brothers Propane is a long-standing business in Dewey, delivering propane to homes, farms, and businesses in southeast Kansas and northeast Oklahoma. Save money on monthly energy bills with propane to fuel furnaces, water heaters, ranges, dryers, air conditioners, swimming pool heaters, outdoor grills, and lights. To celebrate Veterans Day, Miller Brothers has free propane refills for 20-pound bottles for veterans, policemen, and firemen during their Propane for Our Protectors event this Wednesday only at their Dewey and Independence locations. All veterans, policemen, and firemen, take your empty bottles to Miller Brothers Propane in Dewey, north on Highway 75, in Independence, 2746 West Main and 928 East Main. Miller Brothers, open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 918-534-2484 to learn more about what Miller Brothers Propane is all about. Miller Brothers Propane, because having gas is serious business.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. And Larry's with us. You can get in touch with us here at 1-800-749-5936 or 5936 rather, or 1-918-336-1400. Those are our connection lines. And we just may have a call popping up here in just a moment. So we'll gotta wait and see what happens there. In the meantime, let's pick up where we left off, Larry.
Okay. The cedar I couldn't think of was a Hortzman. Hortzman Blue Atlas Cedar.
There you go.
It's a compact growing variety. We have several really nice-looking specimens at the nursery. So if you want, the white limestone house. That's what it's difficult to see in front of.
Oh, the white, yeah.
It's kind of, you need something darker color for the white limestone house. So anyway, the Horseman Blue Atlas Cedar, good plant. We've planted a lot of them. They've all done very well.
Okay. Good deal.
We didn't have a caller?
No.
Okay, anyway, let's talk about the shrub of the week, and that would be the Firepower Dwarf Nandina.
Okay.
The Firepower Dwarf Nandina is a workhorse in the landscape.
It is, and how is that?
How's that? Because it is evergreen. It changes color in the fall and into the winter. It's a pretty red, this bright red color in the winter. And this year, it's really going to do very well as far as color is concerned because of the cooler weather and abundant sunshine. So, except when we have a 2-inch.
Like we had on Wednesday.
But anyway, it's one of the best coloring of all the Nandinas. Brilliant crimson fall through the winter foliage. It forms a neat mound. It's good for borders, massing, containers. I like to plant this one with boxwoods because in the wintertime it gives a good green-red contrast. And it's very important for this plant when it gets tall. And I see a lot of ugly ones in town. People let them get ugly. You need to cut them back about every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
And then, just not a little pruning. You got to be brutal.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't do it now, though.
No.
Yeah, just put away your diesel-powered hedge clippers. Yeah, you want to wait until spring.
Okay.
And I'd like to wait a little bit later than what you would do everything else because these, the Nandinas start to grow later than most other shrubs.
Okay.
So you don't want it to have the ugly effect for a long period of time.
No.
So this year, this will be the third year for my dwarf Nandinas at my house, and they're going to be cut really far back this year.
Okay.
So they need to be disciplined about every 3 years or so to cut them back because they get leggy and they get ugly for a while. Okay. They really require very little care, actually. I wouldn't go overboard on fertilizing them or watering them or anything else. They're just that tough. They don't have any insect problems, so bugs don't eat them.
They don't get buggy, huh?
They really don't have any disease problems. You do see occasionally a little bit of entomosporium on them, which is a fungal disease. It's not very common for that to happen. Typically, it does happen when the weather is extraordinarily moist in the spring. Mm-hmm. You'll get a little entomosporium on them, but it's not life-threatening like it would be, say, for tinnias or something like that.
Okay.
It does cause a little bit of distortion of the leaf, a little black spot, and the leaf kind of curls around it, but it's not life-threatening. Mm. If anything, it enhances the color in the fall.
Okay.
So don't be worried if you see a black spot on your dwarf Nandinas. Occasionally, it's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably one of the landscaper's best shrubs to use because when it comes to bulletproof, they can take on the biggest and the best of them.
They can.
So the Firepower dwarf Nandina, there's several other varieties. But the Firepower is the most popular selling one. Use it for borders and massing and so on. It requires no pruning. It was actually developed in New Zealand. So it does like the full sun. It says it grows up to 12 inches tall, but I've seen them 18 inches tall. When they say 12 inches tall, that's the effective height. That's how high you want it to be.
Okay.
So it can get up to 2 feet. You completely neglected it, just make it look
it'll
ugly.
Kind of do its own thing. You got to give it a haircut. You know.
This is one plant. When you do, you want to try to avoid putting it in a straight row.
Okay. Why do you want to keep it?
There's
not in a row?
Some variability in how they grow in a line. You put them in a line, and you really can't. You can prepare the soil as uniformly as you possibly can, but you're going to have one that just doesn't.
Does it do
grow
it,
up as like the rest of them? It always happens.
Why can't you be more like your brother?
Exactly. And sometimes you can have luck with that if you get lucky, but for the most part, the dwarf Nandinas, as far as uniformity from one plant to the other, it's not overly reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get larger, they can be trimmed back to where they do make a pretty good uniformity as far as shape is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had a hedgerow. A small hedgerow of dwarf Nandinas that looks really very well. So I like to use them in groups.
Okay, so you got to group them carefully then.
Well, not necessarily. You put them in groups, you can have some variability, and that actually can add to the composition, really. So,
right.
But when you're growing in a row, and Nandinas, as a rule, do not make a good hedge plant.
They don't.
No, they're probably one of the worst things you can probably try to get to grow in a hedge. So we use them for the berry interest, you know, the winter berries in the wintertime. The interest on that, and also the color and the durability of the plant, too. They grow in great in Las Vegas. And
you'd think that nothing would grow out there.
So but, I was looking at a video from California. They even grow in California.
California?
Yeah, so they got to be good. So anyway, they're mildly toxic, so the animals don't really eat them. If you live in a situation where you have a lot of deer and whatnot, it'd be a good one to choose for that because they don't munch on them.
Yeah, they'll just stay away. They'll just move on. They'll go down the salad bar line just a little further.
We did a landscape here in town, and the customer, I want holly plants to screen off that faucet. So we put in holly plants. The deer ate them.
Surprise.
Yum. We did a good job of pruning them until the next year they came and ate them again. So we put Nandinas in their place, no problem.
Left them alone.
So they're widely used, and sometimes I do use them, different varieties. I do use them when customers are horticulturally challenged. I'll use them. But because there are so many different varieties,
sure,
the dwarf and the compact, the obsession, and some others, there's almost a use for them really quite well.
Yes.
In any landscape, really. For some winter color. A parallel to that would be Mahonias. Mm-hmm. Mahonias, these are actually members of the Barberry family, the Nandinas are, as are the Mahonias, okay, and, of course, the Barberries. But they share a similar characteristic in that the bark down below is yellow in color.
Mm-hmm.
Bright yellow-colored wood and bark on the stems. So that's how you kind of tell if they're in the Barberry family.
Yeah, that's the...
And that probably explains why they're so hardy, is related to barberry plants. Mm-hmm. Now. And the Mahonia is one too, but it can be difficult to grow. It has kind of specific requirements. Some people just simply don't like them. Mm-hmm. So I dig them up, plant them in my yard. I think they're cool. anyway, so that's it with the shrub of the week. Houseplants, we have right now at the nursery, we have a greenhouse full of houseplants. Everything from Allegheny to African violets, and the Christmas cactus are in, and they're blooming.
Blooming Christmas cactus.
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
They're Thanksgiving cactus, and then they're delayed by the growers from mm-hmm. blooming, so they'll be blooming in Christmas time to catch that niche market. But anyway, we've got some violets right now and some Christmas cactus, so come on, check it out. You want to, if your plants are outside, if you have your house plants outside, they're probably frozen by now. if they aren't, you can bring them in, and you want to transition them a little bit to the indoor environment so they'll survive okay. But it's kind of late for that. You really need to bring them in if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
If they're alive.
Especially before Sunday night.
anyway.
Just saying, folks.
House plants, it's a good idea to keep your humidity up in the house a little bit if possible for your house plants.
Yes.
And keep them away from heat registers and ducts and things like that, just because that tends to dry them out a whole lot more. And put a saucer of pebbles below them. And when you do water them, the saucer will catch that. And catch the saucer will catch the water so it doesn't ruin the carpet or the wood floors.
Yeah.
And then the gravel will enhance the evaporation and help keep the humidity levels up around those plants. So keep that in mind, too. They're growing up from an outdoor environment, which we all know is humid.
Ooh, yeah.
It's Oklahoma. Come on.
Man.
It's humid. You can swim in the air in the summertime.
Yes, you can.
So you bring them in the house, it gets you get that culture shock on them.
Ooh, it's a little dry.
And you're going to lose some leaves probably on them, because not only is there a light differential, but you also have an atmospheric change that they're not accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
So you will lose some leaves when you bring your plants in, especially ficus trees. They just sprinkle leaves.
I just hate it when my ficus plant loses its will to live, you know?
Yeah, well, no, they do drop their leaves, they can't handle change, their response to change is, well, I'm just going to defoliate.
Don't mind me. I'm just over losing my leaves.
I'm just going to defoliate in rebellion for you bringing me in the house.
A little passive aggressive plant.
But they will recover and they'll get used to it and they'll put on new leaves.
They get over it.
They get over it, right?
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back after this 2 minute here on the Green Country Gardener program.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. Five-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
Smoother. Faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to our best bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
This is News Radio K1.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and you are a beacon of truth in an otherwise insane world.
Thank you for all the wonderful work that you do to keep us informed of what's going on around this state.
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you since I was a baby, and my mom always jokes that I should have gotten child support because you raised me more than my dad did.
You're listening to K1 at AM 1400 for more than 60 years. Try us now at 93.3 FM.
Good morning and welcome back. It's the Green Country Gardener program, and our phone lines are at 1-800-749-5936. Larry's with us, and boy, goodness sakes, we covered a lot of ground so far.
Exactly.
Today.
Yeah. We are now, as far as annuals are concerned, it's time for those pansies to mm-hmm. be planted. We have the 4-inch size now.
Mm-hmm.
As time progresses, you need to put in a pansy that has a more extensive root system.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 4-inch, but we have a few of the little ones left, mm-hmm. but you really, seriously, you want to get the one with the big root mass on it, because 17 degrees is kind of chilly.
Yeah.
I don't think, though, it's going to spike more or less 17. Mm-hmm. It's not really going to be 17 for hours. It's just going to spike for a little bit. A
couple hours, and then you'll be back. You know.
Yeah, back to normal, yeah. So
that's Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I had a fellow tell me, Larry, that, he's a fellow who likes to dress for all four seasons, and he has something for all four seasons right there in his car, because he never knows what the weather is going to be from day to day this time of year.
Yeah, I know. I've got sweatshirts in my pickup behind the seat and all that. I wear two layers.
Yeah. we're only at two-layer day today.
Today's a two-layer day. Well, it's going to be one layer day this afternoon, but...
But that morning part, that'll
this week
carry
is
up.
Going to be a T-shirt and a flannel shirt and a pullover, mm-hmm. a hoodie, and a coat.
Especially on Monday.
It'll be a four-layer Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
So the advantage of the layers is you can peel them off as the day changes.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you forget where they are.
Where did I leave that?
Got little jackets all over town. But So, anyway, pansies.
Pansies.
Good time to plant those. Mm-hmm. Be sure to loosen up that soil real good. We planted a whole pile of them downtown on a project this week, and mm-hmm. They're doing real well. And so they should be planted, probably maybe 8 inches apart or so.
Okay, give them some space.
Right. Get them established in the ground, and it's going to mm-hmm. be relatively cool, so you can use a blood meal at this point. It helps them along. Those that we planted, it was a little bit warm when we did it. We didn't put the blood meal down, but we'll probably go back and do that this week just so they'll have that nitrogen. The blood meal is a very available form of nitrogen
mm-hmm.
because it's so cool. The nitrogen is not always available when you fertilize, so mm-hmm. you use that, and it worked really well. So it's a nitrogen form they can use, if you will, right away. So you might consider getting some of that. There's so much prettier when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Helps keep the rabbits away, too.
There you go.
We were out driving this morning. A little old rabbit ran out in front of the car. So missed it. Darn. But anyway, no, I wouldn't do that. No. But anyway, it was kind of fun to see him hopping around.
Mm-hmm.
So plant those pansies right now. Kale can be planted as well.
Kale, yeah.
Kale plants. If it's going to get down in the tens, though, you might want to cover them or make sure they're well watered or mulched before that hits.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a limit with which they can handle moisture and cold weather.
Cold weather.
So if it's preceded by some moisture, chances are it'll survive okay and do just fine. But don't expect a kale plant to do very well if it's dry.
All right.
So also spring bulbs, trying to plant those all basically between now and January is time to plant those. So you got a little bit of time. Just don't forget them.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. This is our last two-minute timeout right here on the Green Country Garden.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Good morning and welcome back. It is 8:56 and it is the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry's with us and you can reach out and touch somebody at 1-800-749-5936.
Hey, spring will be around the corner.
Before you know it.
Before you know it, it'll be spring again. Yeah. After we get done with Thanksgiving and Christmas, it'll be winter time.
Yeah, but that gets over with right around Valentine's Day, I'm
exactly.
told.
Exactly. Yeah, time to get those clippers sharpened up. But anyway, spring will be here before you know it, so let's talk about impatiens.
Okay.
Impatiens after the last chance of frost has passed. Okay. Impatiens for the shade are almost an indispensable plant. There's so many colors and varieties of them, too. But they do very well if the soil is really well prepared, of course. Mm-hmm. A lot of people plant impatiens. We sell impatiens by the truckload. And people really like them in the shady parts of the yard. East side of the house, north side of the house, they do very well. But you must get your ground ready. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show? I got getting my beds all dug up, prepared for the winter?
Yes, indeed.
Bingo.
That's where it all comes together.
Yeah. Now I'm going to move over to the backyard. Probably today or tomorrow, get that ground all turned up and ready to go. So, anyway, impatiens are a very valuable plant in the landscape. And together with those impatiens, I like to plant some perennials, and one that comes to mind is coral bells.
Coral bells.
Coral bells or hookra.
Okay.
Hookra does very well in shade to part sun. Now, the Hooker varieties come in various colored leaves. In other words, kind of like coleus, you have these different leaf colors.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow to these somewhat cabbage size, depending on the cabbage.
Yeah.
How much you like coleslaw? Anyway, depending on the size of the cabbage, they get about that big. Maybe, perhaps a basketball size.
Oh, wow. Plant,
half a basketball on the ground. Mm-hmm. And they have fairly large leaves, and they have little flowers that come up. But the advantage of them is they're available in different colors, from red to yellow to orange. And they make a very attractive accent in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
They last a long time into the fall, and they're one of the first plants to emerge just from a perennial standpoint in the spring. So they're around for a fairly long period of time. They're not bothered by insects or drought or wetness or anything. They just seem to be happy just about everywhere they're planted, with the exception of in the full sun.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have a little bit of a soil requirement, too. So just standard operating procedure on the ground prep will help them a whole lot.
It never hurts to prepare your dirt.
Nope, you got to get that dirt ready.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is the perennial of the week. That's corbels. At the nursery right now, we have some really good wind chimes, a whole bunch of really nice ones, and they're tuned.
They are.
So if you're a musician, they won't hurt your ears. I know I'm kind of musically inclined, and I really like the way they sound because they harmonize real well.
Oh, that's cool.
And they last a long time. 10 years ago, I put one in my backyard. Still there.
Through the tornadoes and everything.
Well, yeah, it makes a lot of noise, too.
No, so that's anyway, really good that they're still working.
Yeah, you want a good quality wind chime that doesn't clank around like an out-of-tune engine. You know, you want something that sounds really nice. So, and we do have several tones and varieties and sizes of those. They make really good gifts, too, to give to somebody. Because
mm-hmm.
That's one thing we have around here is a lot of wind.
Oh, yes, we do.
We have a good selection of trees. The burning bush are really brilliant right now, too. We have some of those up front. We have all kinds of evergreens, all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
If you look at, and a fresh load of compost, too. Ooh.
There you go.
It's a happy day when we get our compost in. And in order to prepare your soil and get that compost worked into the soil real well, you're ready for your plants, you need to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
Good morning. It is 9 o'clock.